Joined now on the air by phone by Dr. Deborah Stroman. She is Kenan Flagler Business School professor and resident athletic expert here at WCHL. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we just got done talking about UNC football. A huge record-breaking win for the Tar Heels, 41-14 over Delaware. We just heard a little while ago Mitch Trubisky named ACC Offensive Back of the Week. No surprise. He set a record for Carolina, 282 pass efficiency rating. That broke a 22-year-old record. But now we've got a quarterback controversy. So where does Carolina go from here?
Yes, this is something that Coach Fedora wanted to avoid. There is no doubt that it really gets the fan base fired up. People start picking their favorites. It can also hurt with your consistency on a team. Certain players have certain tendencies, especially at the quarterback position. So the offensive line has to be comfortable playing with both quarterbacks. Teammate rivalries and battles, though, are nothing new in sport. I just noted a few different ones that have happened over the years. And this year in the pros, the New York Jets, Geno Smith, starting quarterback, he was punched by a teammate over a $600 plane ticket. And, of course, the player was waived. I go back to one that was more disturbing, Michael Irvin, Hall of Fame, you know, player at Dallas. He actually stabbed his veteran guard in the neck with a pair of scissors. And thank heavens the player did not press charges in the sense that Michael's career would have been over. But many feel that it was such a terrible thing that he did that maybe Michael Irvin should have served some time. During that time period, though, that's when Michael Irvin was struggling with drugs. And then lastly, just more recently, this past weekend, where we have the Washington Nationals superstar, Bryce Harper, who was actually choked by one of his teammates. So hopefully Mitch and Marquise won't ever get to that point where they're physically harming one another, but it definitely makes for great conversation for our area.
So how do you, as a player, or as a team, how do you get through a situation like this? And I mean, thinking about the Washington Nationals, it's Bryce Harper and Jonathan Papelbon. They're not even competing for playing time. It's two completely different positions now. With something like Marquise Williams and Mitch Trubisky, they're presumably competing for playing time as well. So it's that additional level. How do you avoid going down that road and actually work together as a team and maintain chemistry?
Well, that is a great question, and coaches will tell you that this is something that they like. It shows the competitive spirit. But I'll tell you, Aaron, it's not true. Coaches do not like this situation, and especially when you have two athletes who are very, very talented and very skilled. Mitch came in very highly ranked, the top player in the state of Ohio, and Marquise, when he finally got his chance, he basically put the Tar Heels on his shoulders and literally ran down the field to get great victories and even a bowl win. So they both have the cred, or the street cred, to be behind center. But the coaches are pulling their hair out about this. I think they would love to have one player step up and just take the lead. But really, I think it's going to come down to the captains on the team, because the captains are really keeping their pulse on how the players feel and making sure that everybody can rally around a particular player. But it is very uncomfortable for coaches.
Well, Georgia Tech coming up soon. They're going to be fired up. We know they just lost to Duke, so we'll know a lot more in 6 days. We're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School. And the other thing, I think some people, we haven't had a chance to talk about it so far this hour, but something that a lot of people were talking about last week, and certainly the case again this Saturday in the Delaware game, is the level of attendance, or the lack thereof, at Kenan Stadium. And I know last week or a week ago you delivered that talk, the Tar Heel tailgate talk, about the financial and economic impact, among other things, of UNC athletics and football in particular. Games can bring in millions of dollars in revenue, but that kind of requires, at least on some level, people to be at the games. And, of course, last weekend, the Saturday game against Delaware, it was Delaware, it was raining. You may expect attendance to be a little low, but that's 2 weeks in a row. So how significant of a situation is this?
Well, it's very significant, and it's not just UNC. This is something that college sport administrators are talking about, conducting studies and research reports as what can we do to get people to leave the comforts of their home, to deal with parking, deal with traffic, mm-hmm. Deal with expensive concession pricing. What can we do to get people to come out and support these young men? Now, UNC football, Keenan Stadium, the capacity is about 63,000. Certainly SEC stadiums anywhere from 75 to 100-some thousand, and they're suffering as well. Some people would say, well, it's just the product. As you mentioned, the scheduling, having non-conference teams without a brand, it's hard to come out. We've even had some weather challenges, but it's still something that must be addressed. Nationally, the National Association of Collegiate Marketing Administrators did a study, and they asked about 24,000 students, which is so important to college football attendance. They asked the students, what are the factors that influence you to go out to the ball games? And surprisingly, even though administrators are now spending millions of dollars to upgrade stadiums to make sure they're Wi-Fi equipped so that everybody can play on their smartphone and receive the texts and watch replays, but the students said that's not the most important decision. It's really about lower ticket prices. It's about better seat location. Mm-hmm. It's about concessions. It's about parking. It's about restrooms. So all those things that administrators really need to pay attention to so that the fan experience is very positive.
I was talking with Kenny Dyke about this last week here at the station, and this was before the Delaware game. We were talking about Illinois and the low attendance there. And I said, you know, we talk all the time about how football is on the rise as a sport in America and baseball is on the decline, but you look at attendance numbers, baseball live attendance is still going up. Football is either stagnating or going down, and that's got a lot to do, I think, with the live experience. You watch a baseball game on TV, it can be really dull, even if you're a huge baseball fan like I am, but you go to a baseball game live, it's a really cool experience. Kind of the other way around, I think, for football. If you're watching a football game on TV, you're closer to the action, you get the commentary in your ear, you get to watch the players up close at an angle that you would never get at a college game or a pro game, and especially with high-def TVs, big-screen TVs, it's just becoming a better and better and better experience to watch the game at home. And I'm not sure it's a really difficult thing to overcome if you want to get people to a game.
Well, that's another reason why we have to have innovation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have people come together, diverse group of people to come together and say, what would equal that experience? What would make me leave my home? And as you mentioned, the HDTV and the pause button and all your favorite foods. Now, the pros can invest. So these are billion-dollar owners, and they're going to do things to capture our attention. Everything from the cheerleaders to the different types of dance squads to the halftime shows, bringing in concerts, mm-hmm. Major entertainers, bringing back former players and focusing on them, giving them a on-the-field interview. It's the place to be. It's a happening event. And then, of course, the way the stadiums and parking lots are structured, you can actually tailgate right there, and then you walk to, you know, your seat to the stadium. Whereas college sport, we don't have the money to do all those types of investments. I know at Carolina we introduced the fireworks, trying to get more people to stay after the game or
yep.
see these amazing fireworks, but we just don't have the millions of dollars to do all those other value-added activities.
So what can Carolina do?
Well, as Marquise Williams stated, just got to win, number one. And I think also we have to look at scheduling. And I know scheduling is usually done 2-3 years out, if not longer. But you have to try to, schedule those teams that already have a national following. I think locally what we can do is continue to connect our athletes with the community. You have to write. You have to tweet. You have to have the Facebook page, all those things that we can do to get the fan base to get to know the players. And when you get to know the players, you're more intrigued. It's more than just a competition. But you do want to know what Bug Howard is about. You do want to know, you know, what Mitch Trubisky is doing on the weekends and his charitable efforts and how he's doing in the classroom. But we have to create these athletes not so that they're on a pedestal and they're so distant from us, but we have to feel that we're comfortable and we want to stay a part of their life. And that starts with going out and watching them compete on Saturday.
We're speaking again with Deb Stroman, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School professor. And we've been talking about UNC football, but let us not forget this was a huge weekend for UNC athletics in general. A couple big wins for field hockey and a couple big wins, too, for UNC men's and women's soccer. Both teams still undefeated with one tie each. Women's soccer started out number 7 in the nation, and that's low for Anson Dorrance's teams, but they're up to number 2 now and threatening number 1. Same for UNC men's soccer. This is turning into a really special year for UNC soccer on both sides.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you, if you like soccer or you want to learn more about soccer, what better place could you live than in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in the Triangle? Anson Dorrance just continues to amaze me in his brilliance, everything from being the coach, the X's and O's. I feel he's a psychologist in how he continues to get these top athletes from around the country to get motivated to win and improve their skill set. He's also an analytics guru, which really speaks to my heart. I had the opportunity to listen in with one of his vendors, a company called Sports Code. They have some amazing software to provide detailed practice and game analysis to each player. And if you're being recruited, wouldn't you want to have this type of service, this type of analysis of your game? And the way Anson uses it, besides just giving them feedback, but also if an athlete wants to start, then here's the information, here's the data. So now you pitch, you convince the coaches why you should start over another player. And so it's a learning environment for the athletes. But I believe all that he does, and certainly on the men's side, volleyball, you know, lacrosse, you can just name all the sports, tennis. It's just an amazing athletic program that we have here. We're so blessed to have these Hall of Fame coaches, these amazing championship coaches that can deliver this type of success each and every year.
And several teams, didn't mention UNC field hockey, but them too, all pushing number 1 in the nation in the rankings. They're all ranked in the top 3. Deborah Stroman is who we're talking to, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. And before we let you go, you mentioned recruits for soccer, but we just got the big news for UNC basketball about an hour and a half ago that Brandon Robinson, who was a big recruit for UNC, has committed to Carolina. He picked UNC over a couple of other teams, including Georgia Tech, which is closer to his home. He's from Douglasville, Georgia, shooting guard coming to Carolina, and this is a really, really big and good recruiting news for UNC basketball. I'm wondering if you have a take on that yet.
Well, I do. Knowing that Coach Roy Williams just put so much into, you know, his program and the tradition of UNC men's basketball, and understanding the significance that it has on Tobacco Road, and in fact, some people would argue that is another challenge with football in this area. But to secure a top recruit in light of what's been going on over the past 4 or 5 years, it's someone that is definitely going to make a difference with our program. Each and every year, the expectations are just so high, and we're all so spoiled with UNC men's basketball. But for him to continue to put in the time, the energy, the effort, rethink some strategies around recruiting. It's difficult to recruit during a time period when we're still waiting for that NCAA ruling, but yet players understand that it's much more coming to Carolina. The excellence in academics, the connections that you make, the strong alumni base all over the world, and then last but not least, you get to play in a top basketball program in one of the, and arguably the best basketball league in the country. And so I think when the recruits put it all together, even though we have this particular situation going on here, they still feel that Coach Williams and his staff are the best mentors for them and to help them develop as young men.
Absolutely, and that's huge news for Carolina. UNC Keenan Flagler Business School Professor Deb Stroman, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.